Welcome to ENN Radio, a weekly podcast from Elon News Network, bringing you the stories behind the headlines. I'm Mackenzie Wilkes. On Monday, Vice President of Student Life John Dooley confirmed via email another case of the mumps, bringing the total count to 7. Elon University allows students to have vaccination exemptions. Reporter Kira O'Connor is here to explain the exemption process at Elon. So, Kira, what types of exemptions are allowed?
Well, Elon University complies with North Carolina state exemption policy, which means that students at Elon can either have a medical exemption or a religious exemption.
Tina Brannick, and I am the front office manager.
A religious waiver, we just have to have a letter from parents just explaining and giving a reason detailed why their kids are not vaccinated due to their religious beliefs. Medical waivers, it has to come from a doctor's office and has to be signed or stamped by the doctor, preferably signed on the reason why they cannot get vaccines due to their medical history.
So a medical exemption means that there is a medical issue that someone is dealing with that prohibits them from getting the vaccination. So either a severe allergic reaction to the vaccination or an autoimmune disease, just to name a few. And there is documentation provided by that student to the university that says the physician has signed off, says that this medical issue that the student is dealing with prohibits them from receiving the vaccine. On the other side, the religious exemption means that a student has a religious belief that prohibits them from receiving the vaccine. And the process of getting a religious exemption is a lot different than the medical exemption. A parent or guardian or even the student themselves can submit documentation that says my religious belief prohibits me from getting the vaccine. It does not need to be signed off by a religious leader. It doesn't need to be looked over by a power of attorney, anything sort of like that. So it's a much different process than the medical exemptions.
And how many students at Elon receive a vaccination exemption?
So according to Dean of Students Jana Lynn Patterson, there are less than 1% of Elon's student population, undergraduate and graduate students, that receive an exemption.
According to Dr. Jeanette Archinal, the first 6 students diagnosed with the mumps at health services were fully vaccinated.
I talked with Dr. Jeanette Archinal at Student Health Services, and she talked to me about the mumps, and she explained that the mumps is spread through droplet, so it's similar to many other respiratory illnesses that are spread through mucus, saliva, that sort of thing. And she recommended, obviously, getting the MMR vaccine, getting the booster that's been on campus, because it will just help protect you against it. And she also mentioned that, you know, if you have the vaccine, it's just protecting yourself a little bit extra. The vaccine is about 88% effective, according to the CDC. And having that extra booster could help you out, could make sure that you stay protected, and could potentially lessen the effects that you feel and the symptoms that you feel from the mumps.
People are only required to get 2 MMR vaccinations. And so at Elon, people will be getting an extra booster with a third shot to protect themselves from the virus since it's spreading around campus, correct?
Yes.
Roughly 5 miles from Elon's campus, Town of Elon and University Police participated in a countywide active shooter drill at Alamance Community College. News director Grace Morris was at the drill, and she's with me here now to tell us what the training was like. So, Grace, can you just give me a rundown of what the training was?
Yeah, so this drill was actually pretty intense, and it was as real world as you can make a drill like this. So they started out the day by bringing all of the first responders sort of into a room to kind of debrief what there was going to happen today. They went over what buildings were going to be in play, which buildings were going to be out of play, and then sort of sent the first responders off to their locations. Each department was given sort of response time. So, for example, the Elon Town Police and the Elon Campus Police were given around like 20 minutes to respond. And that time was based off of how long it would have taken that department to get to Alamance Community College if this had been a real scenario. So after they kind of went over the guidelines, they then brought the people who were going to be playing victims in this scenario. And so these were people, some of them were students, some of them were, you know, other people just in the community who dressed up in all this crazy kind of makeup, who had fake bullet wounds, fake blood, you know, torn T-shirts and things like that, who were asked to participate to, again, make it seem as real as possible. So they kind of went over the same things with them as they did with the first responders, and then they sent them to their respective buildings to sort of play the victims of the day. After that, we finally kind of got started with the scenario. So there were three men who were posing as the shooters, and none of the first responders actually knew who those men were. They were completely blind to that. And so they drove around in an unmarked vehicle in the parking lot a couple times before one of the coordinators of the event, quote-unquote, like, called the event in by pressing one of the blue light buttons that they have on Alamance Community College's campus. So then the police responded, found an unmarked vehicle, and that's when things really started to pick up. The shooters got out of the vehicle. There was a bit of a shootout with the officer who was responding and the people posing as shooters. And the people who were posing as shooters were actually firing blanks. So there was lots of loud noise. The police officers were firing pellet guns, so... no one was going to get injured from the pellets, but it would have been like a little sting, similar to like if you got hit by a paintball or something like that. And then the three men posing as shooters just ran off in different directions. So I followed one of the men who was posing as shooters into the building, and he kind of ran through the building, firing the blanks and things like that. Some of the students who were posing as victims were up on the third floor of this building, and they actually had already kind of positioned themselves as if they had... been killed in this scenario. So some of them were lying on the floor with some fake blood and things like that. And the guy posing as the shooter was just kind of running through, firing blanks throughout the building. Eventually, then the police caught up with him and sort of walked the building to make sure that it was clear and to see if they could find the shooter and identify anyone who maybe was a victim, but still okay, and sort of evacuated them out as that went on. And that's kind of how the scenario went over the course of the couple hours that we were there.
So how successful was this for the town of Elon police and university police?
So there were some little mishaps that kind of happened along the way with the scenario. So one of the big ones was that the police departments that were responding to the third floor of the building that I was in kind of checked through the buildings and actually missed the room where the guy posing as a shooter was holding the hostage. And so then sort of declared the building as evacuated and started sending EMS in to triage the victims that were on the third floor, not knowing that the man posing as a shooter was still on the second floor with a hostage. It actually took one of the coordinators of the event to pull the guy posing as a shooter out of the room, asked him to fire off a couple more shots before the police then realized, oh my gosh, we left the shooter on the second floor. After that, they were able to work through the building again. And by that time, actually, our Elon Town Police and Elon Campus Police were active in responding to this event. They had been there, but they were now coming into the building that I was in and actively responding to the last shooter that was still a threat on the campus. So they responded and found him locked in a room on the second floor and were able to have a negotiator to negotiate out of the room, save the hostage, and then arrest the shooter and take him out.
And so what did university police and town police take from this experience?
Yeah, so I think everyone was pretty thankful that it was a drill and that they were able to kind of work through it and be able to find out what some of the issues that they were going to be having if they were to respond to this drill in real life. I think it allowed them to sort of see where they were lacking, and now they can focus on how to be better and how to more effectively respond to a situation like this were it to happen in real life. One of the officers that I spoke to said that he appreciated that it was sort of made as real as possible. So they still felt that sense of adrenaline as you would if you were responding to a situation that was real. And so you can kind of see how you would respond to a situation like this.
That's it for this week's episode of ENN Radio. Subscribe to ENN Radio on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And when we're not on the air, visit our website, elonnewsnetwork.com, and follow us on social media at Elon News Network.